tonight, you know, we are here to worship God, to give Him the glory, to give Him the praise, to learn from Him as to how we can be what He wants us to be, how we can be better people and be ready for heaven. The singing was wonderful. Now, can you imagine when people in ages past, and those that we don't know, and all of us, we get there and we're doing this? Well, you won't be having any introduction for Brother Osborne, all right? Because I won't be doing any of this. But while we're here, no, we have to do this, all right? Turn with me again in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We will continue where we left off last night. Lord willing, we will look at the other three hearers tonight. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 5 through 9. Well, let's talk about verse number 3. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grains, some 100 old, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. God has again blessed us with another night. From every indication, last night wasn't the last night. We're not so sure about this one, okay? And so He has extended His mercy and His grace. And if you're here tonight and you were here last night, it's another opportunity. If you weren't here last night and you're here tonight, it is still a blessing from God. Last night we looked at the man with the hard, impenetrable heart. We realize that the Word of God, which is the seed laid there on the surface, uncovered, which provided an opportunity for the devil to take it. You see, he wants to take the Word before you can actually receive it, before you can believe it, because he doesn't want you to be saved. And so we begin at verse number 5 of Matthew chapter 13, and it says, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. This hearer, I describe him as the stony, superficial, emotional hearer. And Jesus explains in verse 20 and 21, he says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, Immediately, he stumbled. The main problem with this hearer is shallowness. It is not a problem of being unable to understand. For the Bible says that he receives the word. This man is impressed by the beauty and the excellence of God's word. He's glad to hear what God has done for man to make man happy. But without depth and without being firmly rooted, at the first sign of tribulation, he's gone. And while this man is a receiver of the word, this man didn't put it to use for it to be profitable. While the man with the hard and impenetrable heart needs to plow the soil, this man needs to put down some root. The question is, are we here for a particular reason that will keep us when it gets hot? If God is your reason for being here, without the building, you'll still be here. It wouldn't matter what they say to you or don't say. It wouldn't matter if they like you or not. You'll still be here because you're rooted and grounded in God. Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesus, he wrote to them and he told them what he prayed for. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner man." I want you to catch verse 7. He says, "So that Christ may dwell in your heart." That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. You see, faith doesn't stop upon just hearing the word and believing and then you are baptized. You must continue in faith. But I mean, there are some people coming up out of the water and not ready for heaven. And so you have to be trained here as you are here so that you can be strengthened in faith. Paul says that you being rooted. You know, we need to put down some roots. You know, if you're not a Christian, you know, there's something that you must know before you come. There are Christians who will disappoint you. There are Christians who will disappoint you. And if you rest your faith on a man, the arms of flesh will fail you. You'll be a natural stone. Paul says that you'll be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18 says that you may have strength. You may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the height, what is the depth, so you may know the love of God which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The reason we are here is to be filled with the fullness of God. And Paul says we need to be rooted. This hearer is a shallow, joyful hearer. The Bible says he has no root in himself. In his heart, he is not deeply convinced of his guilt and his depravity. He is an emotional, easily offended hearer. I repeat that. He is an emotional, easily offended hearer. We find some of them in the book of John, chapter 6. And I want us to understand that when we hear God's word, we need to exercise common sense. Brother Mitchell, I heard you say this many times. Common sense is not very common. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. When they saw this, they were amazed, they were excited, and they were even ready to make Jesus a king by force. Can you imagine we have a king who can feed us? We don't need much bread, but we'll be fed. We would love to have such a king. He told them that he was the true bread. Now, I want you to understand. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I am the true bread, and that they must partake of his flesh." Now, common sense would tell you that he's not saying, "I'll cut off a hand and throw it to you, and you can have a bite."
Paul says that we may be able to comprehend, that we may be able to understand, that we may be rooted based on that understanding. And he told them that, and he said to them that my Father sent me, and that they cannot come to him unless it is granted by the Father. Listen to these no depth, no root, superficial, emotional believers. Therefore, they quarrel among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Even way back then, 2,000 years ago, common sense wasn't common. John chapter 6 and verse 66 says, now watch this. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. But look at this. Many of his disciples, his followers, because of hearing this, they walked with him no more. And the reason, they just did not apply common sense. I appeal tonight to your common sense. I just pause here. Listen, I've said this on many occasions, on many crusades. If there is no God, just think about it. There's no heaven, no hell. And this book called the Bible is a fraud. Being a Christian, what do you have to lose? Nothing at all. In fact, the Christian life would still be the best life to live. Even if we, at the end of this life, if you get there and you realize there's nothing to gain, you can look back with joy because you lived this life. But watch this. This is true. The Bible, the Word of God is true. There is a heaven and there's a hell. If you don't see it, it doesn't change the fact. There's a God to glorify. There's a heaven to gain. You have a soul to save. And when you get there, if you don't live this Christian life, what do you have to lose? Everything. And so, the life we're calling us to live is win-win anyway. But this, let's get back to this hearer. This hearer, he went further than the man with the hard heart, in that he received the word. The first man didn't receive the word. He allowed the devil to take it from him. It is possible, brother, to do better than others and yet not be as good as we ought to be. Are you with me? It is possible to do better than others and still not doing what we ought to be doing. We can go beyond our neighbors and still fall short of heaven. There are many, many good starters, but bad finishers. They don't have enough to sustain them, not enough to endure to the end. It was Jesus who said, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. There are many starters, but bad finishers. With no root to support the plant, it withers under the sun. My question to you tonight, do you have what it takes to endure to the finish? Luke chapter 14, verse number 27, Jesus said, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Then he asked the question, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Do you have what it takes to finish? You need to put down some roots. But let's go a little bit further. Matthew chapter 13. Let's pick up at verse number 7. And let's talk about the preoccupied, double-minded, crowded, and worldly heart. In Matthew 13 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now he who received the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes
unfruitful. Note that last phrase. He becomes unfruitful. This heart is not hard. It is not even shallow, but it is preoccupied. And I want, as you read these parables, I want you to put yourself in it and see what you see. The hearers even went further. This hearer went further than the one before. It had root. Are you with me? This hearer allows the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, to choke the life out of the living word. Are you with me? This hearer renders the powerful word powerless. The everlasting word becomes a word of the moment because it didn't produce. When you strangle the word, and we'll do that in a while, this will be the result. This heart needs to repent and pull up some weed. Are you with me? There are some things that we'll have in our lives that will not allow us to be what God wants us to be. Or won't allow the word of God to be realized in our lives. When we have too much, you see, any farmer will tell you that a particular piece of soil can accommodate so much and no more. You can pull up some weed. There is enough sustenance in the ground for thorn, enough sustenance for the wheat, but not enough for both wheat and thorn. So in the same way, the heart has a certain power of loving, but love dissipated on many objects focuses itself on none. It's going to be God or the world, but not both. Matthew 6 and verse number 24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters at once. Either he will hate one and he will love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Who do you choose tonight? God or the world? The seed was choked by the cares of the world. The word choke means to suffocate. The suffocation prevented growth. It strangled, it stopped life. The word care means, and I want you to listen to this carefully, it means to draw in different directions to distract the cares of the world. The seed is good, always good. And from every indication, there is potential in this soil. Growth is genuine, but the rock that kills the root, the thorn, kills the fruit. This man had what it takes to produce. He had the potential to produce. But choked by the cares of this world, suffocated by the deceitfulness of wealth, Jesus says he became unfruitful. He was on his way to something great. Are you with me? But he became unfruitful. He had the potential to bear fruit, but he became unfruitful. He just didn't produce. What a tragedy. Wealth is deceitful because it promises more than it can deliver. It is uncertain and its value changes every day. Riches are like thorns. You can touch it, but you cannot rest yourself on it. If you rest yourself on it, you'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 9, Paul wrote, and he says, "But those who desire to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Let me, before I go further, clarify. Money is not the root of all kinds of evil. If you think so, then give me yours. It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith through their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, we must not allow ourselves to be possessed by our possession. Many have departed from the faith, gone in search of wealth after they have tasted the good word of life. Gone in search of wealth after they have become partakers of his divine nature. The Bible says in Matthew 16 and verse number 26, "For what profit it is to a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Cares and wealth are distractions of the heart. Martha, Luke chapter 10, received Jesus into her house and neglected him as she prepared an elaborate meal. Left alone to serve, she felt neglected and complained. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word. Luke 10, 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. She was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried, you are troubled, you are distracted, but one thing is needed." And what is that one thing needed? To listen attentively to the word of God. It was James who says that we must receive it because it is able to save our soul. We need to pay attention when we hear God's word and apply common sense when we hear it. Do you have ears to hear? Are you listening, or are you distracted? There's a passage in the book of Luke, chapter 13. One of my favorite passages in the book of Luke. When I think of personalities, I often draw this man or this individual who interrupted Jesus. In Luke, the 12th chapter, Jesus started out in verse 2, talking about be aware of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Pharisees. And Jesus was teaching this lesson, Brother Mitchell. And in the meat of his sermon, somebody in the crowd, verse number 13, says, "Lord, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." No, I can't understand for the life of me how this piece fit into the lesson. In the middle of the sermon, Jesus was teaching, and all he could think about was the inheritance that his brother had. "Lord," or "teacher, just tell my..." And Jesus had to say, "Man, Who made me a judge and or an arbitrator over you?
And then he says, take heed of covetousness. You see, you can be here tonight and distracted. You can be here tonight and you're thinking about the cares of this world. And so the word of God will not be realized in your life. Just think about it. So far, we have looked at some hearers. To this moment, no production. Three quarters of the hearers, if you want to put it that way, are unprofitable hearers. You save from this statistic 1 out of 4. Isn't that amazing? But are you distracted upon hearing the word of God? What in the world are you thinking about in the world? And he said, Lord, just tell my brother to share the piece of land. And Jesus says, you must beware of covetousness. He says, the crop of a certain man yielded plentifully a particular year. And he thought within himself, saying, what must I do? And you see, Jesus taught this parable based on the question that the man asked, on the statement. And he says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And that is verse number 16. And he thought within himself, saying, well, what shall I do? I have no more room to store my crops. And then he got this brilliant idea. And he says, well, I'm going to tear down that barn and I'm going to build one greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You have much goods laid up for you for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. There are few people, while talking, God interrupted them. Now listen, when you're talking nonsense, you see, that's when God interrupts. You remember Peter? Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and while he was speaking, God said, I will have none of that. And this man, while he was speaking, God interrupted and said, you fool, you don't have many years. You don't have goods laid up for you. Because you don't have many years. Because tonight your soul will be required of you. He thought he had many years. And he was making plans for many years. The next thing that he thought, that his soul could be satisfied with what the land produced. Big mistake. And then God said, who those things going to be that you have labored so hard for? In other words, God said, tonight you are going to die. Do you have a preoccupied, double-minded, crowded, distracted, and worldly heart? You need to pull out some of those things, those thorns, those things that are killing us, strangling, suffocating the word of God so that they can produce and you can be fruitful. But let's move on to verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 13. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you are a 30th producer, at least you're producing. You see, God wants us to just use the abilities that He has blessed us with to the best of our abilities. And if you can only produce 30, then at least you are producing. There are those who can produce 60 and 100 and some just 10. But I believe that God, as I mentioned last night, is a businessman. He wants some return. You see, he wants, as he makes his investment, as he sows the seed, that there will be pleasing results from the sowing of that seed. And verse number 23, it explains, Jesus says, but he who received the seed on good ground
is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 160 and 30. This hearer not only hears the word and understands it, but he allows it to take root in his heart. He has what I call spiritual depth and stability. He is not moved by the problems that affect the seed on the rocky ground. He bears up under pressure and he endures persecution. He resists the temptation of wealth because he knows the value of true riches. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You need to choose your father. Are you with me? You need to choose your family. When you come of age, and you can now decide on spiritual matters, you need to be careful as to who your daddy is. And the Bible says that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked, the Bible says, to the reward. Are you looking to that reward? It is sad, Brother Mitchell, that good seed doesn't always fall on good soil. And although many hear and receive the word in vain, there are those who will hear the word and they will produce fruit of righteousness. These are the disciples of Christ. In John 15 and verse number 8, the Bible says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. To hear that, Jesus says, the proof of discipleship is that we bear fruit. But what distinguishes this hero from the rest? One word, faithfulness. He has everything that the others didn't have. He did everything the others didn't do. He received the word. He understands the word. He is an intelligent hero. Luke describes him as an honest and good heart. This heart is sincere. It has a sincere desire for the truth. It has openness in hearing the truth and a willingness to receive it. This is he, Jesus said, that hears the word of God and understands it. He is a faithful and a fruitful hearer. Faithfulness is trusting obedience. The good ground of the human heart takes the word of God and takes God at his word. And without hesitation, this hearer will do what God says and trust God to bless him. You see, when you are coming to God, you must be willing to just do what God says, because God can see everything. You remember Abraham, God called him, leave and go to a land that I will show you. And he left. And God blessed him, didn't he? We today at times are described as sons of Abraham, because he was faithful and he was obedient. Even today, he is producing fruit. The good heart is willing to be guided by the truth. The good heart satisfies itself in the truth. That heart bears fruit in the abundance. Some 30. If you get 30% on what you have invested, maybe even better than all in, eh? Hello. And you get 60 and 100 times what you have invested, then that's great. Well, this tells us that there's power in the word of God. And when a Christian will not produce and cannot produce, it is not the fault of the word, but it is the heart of that particular Christian. God's word is powerful, and the Bible says it will not return to him void. You see, faithfulness and fruitfulness is what God requires.
John 15 and verse number 5 and verse 6 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt.
The good soil represents the hearers who have depth and the conviction. I'll tell you this. One sermon is enough, you know. One sermon is enough. I am living proof to that. 1989, my grandmother invited me to church, May 7th, I never forget. But I'm still, I got there when they were saying the closing prayer. Stood at the door and they met me. And she said, but you're not hearing nothing. Come back next week. Brother Paul Gilbert was a fourth-year student at the Jamaica School of Preaching at the time. Along with Brother Grant, Brother Terry, and Brother Bristol. What happened is that for that month, Brother Michael Roberts invited the fourth-year student to speak that month. And he preached a sermon from Acts chapter 8. Never forget the topic. Stop that chariot. It was the first gospel sermon I was hearing. I used to go shoot birds on Sundays. And I walked forward that day and I told him I wanted to become a Christian. Brother Gilbert sat with me at the front of the auditorium and told me what I needed to do. I went home, picked up my clothes, and here I am. Some 27 years later. One sermon is enough. Just open your heart and receive God's word and to see what God can do for you and in you. One sermon is enough. The good soil represents the hearers with depth and conviction. The ones who will take action. The Bible says in Mark 4 and verse 20 that they receive. They understand Matthew 13:23. And Luke says in chapter 8 and verse 15 that they keep. They receive, they understand, and they keep. Will you receive the word tonight? Do you understand the word tonight and will you keep it? And if you don't understand the word, it is not because the word cannot be understood. You have to fix your heart to receive the seed. And then the end of it says, and they bear fruit. What kind of hearer are you? Do you have ears to hear? Will the word of God tonight find a good heart? Will it find a heart that will receive and understand it and keep it and bear fruit? God sent his son. We messed up in the garden. Couldn't help ourselves. We broke that fellowship with God. So God used to come down and talk with man. And man did what God told him not to do. But what I don't understand is that we have a tendency to not do what God said that we must do. And then do what God says that we are not supposed to do. And so man was driven out of the garden, which started God's plan to redeem man. And all the sacrifices and all that God did in the Old Testament was pointing to the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus the Christ. Paul tells us that it was when the time was right that he came. Everything was in place. And so Jesus came. He came and he laid down his life. He died for us. He was the innocent, spotless Lamb of God. Gave up his life. When it was reported to Pilate that Jesus was dead, If you read the book of John, he was surprised. Because just nails in the hands and the feet wouldn't kill you in 2-3 hours. Wouldn't kill you. History tells us that people were dying by that means. Some of them would be on the cross for days. But Jesus says, I lay down my life. And if I lay down my life, I can pick it up again. You see, Jesus decided when he wanted to die. And he prayed to the Father. He gave up his life and he says, it is finished. Breathed his last. Gave up the spirit. And so the devil rejoiced, brother. Oh, he's dead. The Sanhedrin council rejoiced. Yes, we kill him so we can silence him. Then came Saturday, and he was still in the grave. People, they were resting. He was resting in the grave. Sunday morning came. And we can sing, I serve a risen Savior. That he came back to life. He came that we could have life, but he had to die so that we can have life. He came and he was poor. So that we can enjoy the riches of heaven. And he came back to life. Now, how am I going to be saved? How does that help me? Well, in order for us to be saved, we have to actually do what he did. We have to do what he did. We have this old man, some of us walking around with, and proud of it. We should kill that old man. Kill the man of sin. The man of the flesh. Crucify him. And bury that man in the water of river baptism. Paul says in Romans 6 that we are buried with Christ. And you cannot be raised with him unless you are first buried with him. And so Christ died on the cross. We must become dead to sin. He was buried in the grave. We must be buried in baptism. God raised him from the dead. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 11 tells us that God operates on us. When we are baptized, God's operating with us. A circumcision made with our hands. Not cutting off the skin of the flesh, but removing the sin of the flesh so that we can be raised to walk in the newness of life. You hear that word. You hear enough. All you need for that seed is a good heart. Eh? All you need for the word of God is a good heart. Do you have that tonight? Or will you squander your time? Or will you just say, you know, I have tomorrow. Or I have next week. Or I have much good later for me. I have many years. God invited you here to give you this opportunity to come to him. So he invited you to come and he's calling you. Don't be like the hard heart to allow the devil to come and take away the word. Don't be like the one with a shallow heart. I receive the word with joy and have no root. Don't be like the heart with a thorn, preoccupied and distracted. Be like the one with a good and noble heart. That is the heart we're asking for tonight. But the thing is that if your heart is hard, you have the will to make it good. If it is distracted, you can pull up some of those thorns and make space for the word of God. If it is shallow, you can dig down deep and remove those rocks so that when the word of God is planted, it can be deeply rooted. We're going to stand tonight and we're going to sing a song of encouragement. A song of encouragement. We invite you to come as you sing. Let us all stand. You don't have to wait on the invitation song either. Just come to Jesus. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. Just come to Him.